Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Grant and Danny welcoming you back on 106.7 The Fan to kick off the second hour of the show today. And we are pumped. It's not very often, Danny. Talk to a lot of sports celebrities and stars that we love, but our favorite actors aren't on the show very often. And right now on the Mattress Warehouse hotline, we find our first guest of the day who made his film debut in Animal House in 1978 and has spent the last 41 years starring in movies,
amazing
TV shows, and making music as part of his band Bacon Brothers. Kevin Bacon is with us. Kevin, we're Grant and Danny in D.C. Thanks so much for the time.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Our pleasure. You got a really cool venture that I'm helping take part in here in Washington, D.C. that we're going to get into in just a minute to fight pediatric cancer, which is a very, very important cause. I wanted to ask you a few things about what has been a cool career. I know you come to the area a bunch on your tours with Bacon Brothers and play at the Birchmere. What drew you to Alexandria and that Delray area? Do you have spots you like around D.C.?
You know, it's just a weird thing. You never really know what pockets of the country are going to, become interested in the music. And for some reason, the Birchmere in Alexandria has always been a place that we played for years there. And we started with one show, and then they started asking for two. Now we usually do three nights in a row there. And I love that town. We also like to play in Annapolis, Maryland, which is also, sort of in the same kind of area. My sister lives in D.C. and has for a really long time, and so I've visited her a lot. She was a big part of the Southwest waterfront, and we had a really, gosh, I wish I could remember the name of the spot we went to, but we had an amazing lunch there last time I was in town. So it's a chance to see her and hang out with her and, play at the Birchmere, and, we dig it.
What do you have coming up? Like, what are you working on right now? Your IMDb page, it takes a lot of scrolls to get all the way through all the different projects, man. It looks like you're busy.
Well, let's see. We finished the first season of City on a Hill for Showtime, which is, in this day and age, you can always go back and if you haven't caught up with that show, it's a really cool show. It takes place in Boston in the 90s, and I've got a really, really great character that I'm playing. And then we're going to start the second season of that at the beginning of next year. And we've been in the studio with the band, so I've got some new music coming out soon. We had a new single called Play that just came out. And I'm also I'm doing this half-hour comedy scripted podcast for Spotify. So we're kind of in the working with scripts now and trying to get it cast, and we're going to go in and record that pretty soon. And looking for other, I'd love to do a movie before the show starts, just because I love movies, and, as great as television is, it's always good to get something into camp. But I do have a film called You Should Have Left that's coming out beginning of next year.
6degrees.org is the site you can check out for Kevin's charity, which is donating to the causes of Make-A-Wish, Mid-Atlantic, and the Children's Inn at NIH. Kevin, I remember years ago, and I actually agreed with you at the time as well, you weren't really big on TV acting necessarily. You kind of differentiated between movies and television, and you've now kind of forayed into TV. But there was a time where I didn't watch TV shows, and now I'm all Netflix, I'm all Showtime,
all HBO. Yeah.
I feel like, I don't want to say it's overtaken movies for me, but they're almost on par. What changed, do you think?
I have a real theory about it, which I will share with you. I hope it's not too, inside sports, but basically, writers, I think a lot of people don't really realize that on movie sets, writers have traditionally been not really all that well respected in a way. You know, they write the scripts, but then they hand the scripts off to the directors and the producers and the actors. And we can kind of do whatever we want with it. It's kind of the opposite of what theater is like, because in a theatrical play, it's not like you would do Midsummer Night's Dream and just start changing the words, or shooting it, or setting it in a different place. So I think they kind of got frustrated with that. And in television, writers run the show. They are actually literally called showrunners. They have all the power. You have to deliver the thing that they put on the page. The directors are more there to do the writer's bidding. And even when it comes to actors, we really are at the behest of writers. And I think that once writers realize that they could go and do their best stuff and have control over their work, they started to flock to television. This was around the time that The Wire was on and Sopranos, mm-hmm. and 6 Feet Under and Dexter, people started going, wow, television's really cool. And nowadays, listen, it used to be that grown-ups went to the movies and kids watched TV, and now it's flipped, right? And the studios, unfortunately for someone like me who makes my life's work has been working in movies, they make a handful of very, very big budget films. They'll shoot their whole wad on two or three comic book acting action movies or whatever that they spend $200 million on, and the smaller, more adult and dramatic films, or even romantic comedies or whatever they happen to be, they don't really get made for $20-30 million. There's a giant, movies have a giant income disparity. So you either you're spending hundreds of millions of dollars, or you're spending $5 million on a low budget horror movie or whatever. So what happens is for someone like me, I want to work, I love to work, and there's things I want to do and parts I want to play. And if I sit around and wait for the phone to ring on a movie, I'll never get to work. It becomes frustrating. So I think me and a lot of other people looked at actors who were getting a chance to go in and explore and deepen characters and piece it out.
Thank you, Kevin. Kevin Bacon is with us here. Go to 6degrees.org. That's the website, doing some amazing charity work all across the country. It's an awesome cause, and it's a wonderful way to get yourself involved. Kevin, at the risk of kind of going all Chris Farley on this thing, talking to Paul McCartney, I think you're a fantastic actor. I've thought that for a very, very long time. What is something that you've done that you don't think got enough credit? Because I've got a couple movies in mind of yours that I thought just sort of got, I don't know, didn't get the attention they deserve because maybe something else did. But I'm curious, for someone that's worked for so long, something that you've done that you thought deserved a little bit more shine.
Listen, I think that's a risky road to walk down, because it can really it can really sound like sour grapes. I think that I've seen a lot of films that for whatever reason, whether it's timing or they don't really get appreciated probably in the way that they should have. I mean, there are a few, but I don't want to, you tell me.
Well, for me, Stir of Echoes came out at the exact wrong time. I think you're awesome in it. I think that movie's incredible, but all people talk about is the fact that Bruce Willis was dead. So nobody remembers. That's a great flick.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. And I'll tell you something. I can tell you an interesting story about that. And that is that we got, see you later, honey. We got caught a wind of The Sixth Sense while we were making Stir of Echoes. And, you know, really were hoping, I had very little power in this situation, but we're really hoping that the movie would come out before The Sixth Sense. I don't think that it would have had any kind of an impact on The Sixth Sense. Sixth Sense was a great movie, and it had an amazing ending, and, you know, M. Night was great, and Bruce was great. You know, that it was Stir of Echoes success would not have been a result of Sixth Sense, you know, wouldn't result in Sixth Sense failure. But on the other hand, Sixth Sense was such a phenomenon, and most people that were going to that movie, I don't know if you remember this, I'm sure you do, that they would go 3-4 times. That was like the first time people were like, wow, people are going to this movie again and again and again. And so every mention of Stir of Echoes was that it was kind of like Sixth Sense. And certainly if you'd seen The Sixth Sense 3 times, you didn't want to go and watch another movie that was going to be like The Sixth Sense. So, yeah, we kind of took a hit on that.
Kevin Bacon in so many great films. I could list them, but that would probably take up the rest of the segment. By the way, I thought you were from Boston until I did more research at one point, because you're Mystic River, Patriots Day, Black Mass. Philly, through and through. Are you an Eagles, Phillies fan? You're in so many Boston movies with the great accent. I always thought Boston.
Yeah, it's really weird. It's really weird. I don't know why I keep going back to Boston. And it's so funny because I'm there, you know, speaking of sports. And I lived in Philadelphia until I was 17. I moved. It's been in New York since I was 17. So in both of those cities, we have no love lost for Boston teams. So, you know, it's you know, when you're like knee deep and everybody that you're running into, and all your drivers are all wearing, you know, Patriots jerseys, and, you know, everyone's got a Red Sox cap on. it can be a little painful.
It's just a lot, I'm sure. It's a full court press all the time. Are you, like, do you, when you unwind, do you watch stuff? I mean, are you going to movies? Are you watching TV shows? Or is it like, let's go outside and fish or something?
When's the last time you went to a movie?
Like, yeah, do you have, like, ticket stuff?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
What do you
no,
like?
No. I do. I really do. I am I'm a consumer, and I literally make an effort to, to go out to the movies to, even if I'm on the road with the band, you know, sometimes we have a long hang, and I'll find the local theater and you know, be sitting in the hotel getting an Uber and go over and sit in the movie theater in the afternoon and watch movies. I think it's important, and I also feel like there is something about that experience. I mean, it's sad because I sit in a lot of empty theaters, you know, unfortunately, and it's hard for, like I said, something to get its due, but yeah, and I watch a lot of television shows. I'm definitely an entertainment consumer.
Kevin Bacon's going to tell you in a moment about a great charity cause that I'm going to help take part in. TJ Oshie, the Caps, is heavily involved in here in DC that he's to try to create betterment for a lot of young people around the country. Couple things, just because I don't know when the next time I'm going to talk to Kevin Bacon is, that I have to ask you. Number one, the last time you actually slipped $20 to a DJ not to play Footloose at a wedding. I read that
I haven't been to a wedding in a long time. I'm going to one in a couple of weeks, so I'm gonna have to make sure I put that $20 in my pocket. But maybe it's gone up since then. I don't know.
Have you actually done that before, or is that just a bit?
I have.
You say, please don't play.
And I have a very specific reason for it. And you know, I mean, it sounds like it's just kind of like a buzzkill, or but you know, I feel really strongly that there's two people that are starring in a wedding, the bride and the groom. And this is like their day to be the center of attention, to be the focus, you know. And when they put on the song, all of a sudden the focus is on me. Everybody goes, is he gonna dance? You know what I mean? And it makes me uncomfortable. I don't want to go. I don't tell you the truth. I don't really like going to weddings because I like them. Like, I like the beginning of it. I like the ceremony. And then, you know, once the alcohol hits, and it just, it just, it slips into Kevin Bacon, and like I said, this is the day. It's not supposed to be about me. You know what I mean? And it's supposed to be about the bride and the groom, the family, and, you know.
Sticking with the wedding theme for a second, I'm always wondering about like celebrity friendships. Let's say you and Kira are renewing your vows, and you're going to have a couple of groomsmen who are other actors that you're still boys with. Who makes the cut for you? Like, who are you tightest with?
I don't really have a lot of acting friends, to tell you the truth. I mean, I have a few, it's not that I don't like actors. I do like actors. I've got a lot of people that I've worked with and that I care about and that whose company I enjoy. But my best friends are not people that you would be familiar with.
Kevin, how do you view? You mentioned Footloose and that kind of thing. I always feel like it's hard when somebody has an iconic role that they're like totally known for. Like Jeff Bridges can't go anywhere without people being like, "Hey, it's the dude." He's like, "Yep, working actor for decades. I've done a lot of other things." You know, how do you view that? Where you're known for something and everyone loves it, and everybody sort of is like, "Do that thing," but at the same time, you want your whole thing appreciated. Is it just nice that you're known for something, or does it get annoying? How do you view that?
I think you have to be careful to not look a gift horse in the mouth. Certainly I don't pretend that I wasn't in Footloose, and I don't, you know, I'm thrilled that, you know, that it was a great opportunity for me and, you know, it was certainly, you know, fantastic for my career, et cetera. Sometimes it gets a little annoying. I mean, you want to say, have you been to the movies in the last 4 years? Or whatever. I don't even know how old Footloose was. But, you know, on the other hand, listen, I'm thrilled that anybody knows anything I was in. To have been able to make a living as an actor for as long as I've been able to make a living as an actor it's not the easiest thing to do. And there's a lot of, people that have fallen by the wayside that I've seen, you know, in the course of my career. So the fact that anybody still gives me a job and that I can, still find someone who will let me, you know, stand on the set and say some lines and get paid for it is something that I really appreciate.
Kevin Bacon on Grant and Danny. I've got my wife today picking up a piece of cake. I'm going to smash it in my face for the Cake It Like a Kid challenge that you've got, and I'll put it on Twitter.
Great.
Tell people about the 6 degrees concept that you guys have come up with and how they can contribute.
Yeah, well, everyone's familiar with the Ice Bucket Challenge. It was such a, you know, fantastic idea that became so super viral. In order to raise awareness for pediatric cancer awareness month, the month of September, we're doing these Cake It Like a Kid challenges. So it's basically you or somebody else smashes a piece of cake in your face. You know, it sounds very simple. And then you challenge 6 other friends to do the same thing, and they all make a $6 donation. So it's, you know, it's fun. Doesn't cost you a lot of money. We've had some really good ones. My brother, which is, you know, the Bacon brothers, brotherly love, of course. He was the one that put the cake in my face, and people have jumped on board, and it's going really well. And, you know, we're thrilled to be doing what we can.
Kevin, it's wonderful work. Congrats on a wonderful career and continued success to you, man. Thanks for the time this morning. Really appreciate it.
All right, appreciate it. Look forward to seeing the cake in your face.
Yes, you'll enjoy that. And good luck to your Eagles. They pummeled the Redskins, so they'll be okay, I think, moving forward.
Yeah. A lot of injuries, but, you know, they'll hang in there.
All you got to do is beat the Lions this weekend. That's not that bad. Kevin Bacon, one of the best. Always cool to catch up with people that you've been watching your entire life.
You know, just an interview with Kevin Bacon this morning. Not a big deal.
Grant and Danny on the Fan. Next up, Jimmy Moreland at the bottom of the hour, the People's Cornerback.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Grant and Danny welcoming you back on 106.7 The Fan. Every Wednesday at this time we'll be joined by our member of the Redskins. And today our guest is their young cornerback who was drafted out of JMU in the seventh round and made the roster and is already playing a lot. And that's Jimmy Moreland. Jimmy, it's Grant and Danny. Thanks for the time, man. How are you?
How you doing? I'm doing good.
Jimmy, first of all, congratulations, man. You're in the NFL. Have you had one of those moments yet where you realized, oh my gosh, I went from where I came from as a JMU Duke, and now here you are playing on Sundays for money. How cool is that, man?
Hey, man, that was cool. And the first time they gave me that ring on my phone call, man, it shocked me at that moment.
Did you start last year? Like, go back 365 days ago. I'm just going to be honest with you. I didn't know anything about Jimmy Moreland. At that time, were you expecting to be drafted? Were people around you saying it was possible? Or did you kind of think you'd have to maybe make the team as an undrafted free agent, something like that, out of the draft process?
Last year around this time, I was two pick sixes into the season. So I was expecting myself to, make a little stardom into the NFL run.
But let me ask you then why. I mean, because you had the numbers. The picks were there. The tackles are there. The physicality, the intangibles. How do you go in the seventh round? Is it a size thing or a small school thing? What do you make of it?
Exactly what you said. It's a size thing and also a small school thing. You know, I'm not a big corner like everyone wants in the league right now. So, you know, it was definitely a size thing when you look into the seventh round.
Jimmy Moreland is with us. He is the Redskins rookie cornerback. What's the difference between playing, say, I don't know, let me pick one of these teams here, Maine and the Philadelphia Eagles? How big of a jump is it?
What's it now, sir?
I say, how big a difference is it going from playing like Norfolk State or Maine or East Tennessee State mm-hmm. to playing in the pros, to playing like the Eagles and Amari Cooper and company? How big a jump is it?
You know, it's a big jump, man. These guys who went to D1, 1A schools, you know, top of their recruits. You know, and now you playing with them. You know, I wasn't expecting to be on this level, but, you know, I always thought myself would be on this level.
You made six tackles, and you broke up a pass against the Cowboys in your first extensive NFL action with a bunch of injuries. I mean, it's one thing to make the roster. It's another thing now with two injuries at corner to get thrust onto the field. What was your confidence level going to the game? Take me through some of the film study and just how much prep you did for Dallas.
You know, my confidence level is always up. You know, I'm always prepared, always ready to go. I was one of the guys that was coming in that was looking into playing a little bit of time, but, you know, the injuries came up or occurred, and I played a lot, you know. So I was always prepared and ready to go. The guys always trusted me to be the guy to come up, and whoever fall down, I'll pick them up. So, you know, I was always – my confidence level has always been high. But, it's, you know, film study, you know, it's always – first down, you know, second down. There's a lot of film study going into studying for two big division rivals.
For a game like that, Jimmy, are you told going in you're pretty much going to be inside in nickel? Or do they say, hey, you're going to play some boundary as well? And what are the differences of the two positions, outside, inside?
You know, yeah, I went into the game expecting to play a lot of nickel. But, you know, we was banged up. So my coach kind of told me before the game, you know, I might end up going to corner. Depends on how everything falls along during the game. So, you know, going from inside to outside, it's a big, big step because, you know, you're moving a lot in the inside, a lot of key things, a lot of things you could drop off, a lot of things you can't drop off. As outside, you know, you basically one-on-one, you know, unless someone gave you up a snug formation or something like that, a tight formation where you can pass things off and stuff like that. But other than that, you know, it's a one-on-one out there on the island.
Jimmy, what do you do best right now, and what do you want to improve as the season goes on?
You know, I think I do best at, you know, my lateral quickness and slow reading things. You know, I'm a player who can knows plays, what plays coming to them, know expect formation, you know, get into the film room and study a lot. What I can help them more is communication, you know, getting my players, knowing what my weakness is at and my strength is at my own coverage.
Jimmy Moreland of the Redskins on Grant and Danny. Are you familiar with your nickname, the People's Corner?
I kind of am.
What do you think of that?
You know, it's kind of funny. You know, a lot of fans got a lot of names for me, but, you know, I just let the fans come on those, and, you know, I just live by them.
Why do you think you got so popular so fast? Pretty much out of minicamp. You had a couple picks, you made a few plays, and right away you were like a folk hero with Redskins fans. I know it's easy to root for the seventh-round pick, but it seemed like you were a fan favorite right away. Why do you think that is?
You know, because a lot of people can go back and watch the film. You know, they should be making plays. You know, they're going to automatically, who's this guy's name? You know, they're going to go back and look up what they can find. So, you know, once you go back and look up things, you see the plays I make, they automatically, okay, now he's becoming one of my favorite guys. So I really think it's because JMU Nation, how big of a fan base this is to the Redskins community as well. So, you know, a lot of fans already know who I was coming into the Redskins.
Jimmy, is there a guy – I always think of this with rookies because wasn't that long ago you're watching these teams on TV and you got fantasy players and everything else. Is there a guy that you guys might be going up against where you're going to be starstruck for a second and go, oh, my God, it's fill in the blank? Is there somebody you're looking forward to in that way?
I kind of think Tom Brady's that man away from me because, you know, seeing the way he how many championships he done won in about 5 years, you know. So, you know, I just look at that and be like, wow, he's a GOAT to me, one of the greats. So I'm looking forward to week 5 for him.
How about as far as defensive backs that you study, guys who you think right now, who's the best corner in football?
You know, obviously I can't give you that perspective because I'm gonna parlay to myself on that. But other than that, you know, I take a lot of technique things from guys from at the cornerback position. I look at a lot of guys' plays and a lot of guys how they play. You know, so I take a lot. You know, I ain't gonna say who's a GOAT. You know, I think Deion Sanders is a GOAT at a DB.
Deion, so you're going all time. But let's just say, okay, if we said Jimmy Moreland's number one, and then we said let's go outside of the Redskins locker room because you're biased to your own teammates, a few other guys that you would say you like watching them play, who would you put on that list?
No, I like watching Jalen Ramsey, you know, Tyrann Mathieu. You know, you got Casey Howard. You got a lot of guys you can favor and watch and go by. They play.
Will you go into the Redskins film room, wherever that is in the park, and will you pull up other guys, or do you prefer to study yourself more in detail?
I like studying myself more because, you know, I can watch myself and correct myself and help me become the player I want to be.
Jimmy, what have you picked up from some of the veteran cornerbacks on this roster? Guys like Quentin Dunbar and Josh Norman have been around so much. DRC, who was doing it, I think, right around the time when you were born. I think he broke into the NFL picking off passes. What have you picked up from some of these veterans in both in the film room and on the field?
You know, they just know what's coming. You know, this NFL, you know, they've been in the league for quite a long time. So, you know, they expect a lot. They know what's coming towards them. You know, and I get that awareness of what type of play is coming to me now. You know, they help me break down stuff, help me know if someone's checking. You know, they might see something. They, you know, you got to change something up. You know, things like that. You know, they help me a lot into my playbook.
Jimmy Moreland, the People's Corner on Grant and Danny. Well, everyone's jacked up about how you're playing. Keep it up and best of luck. Monday Night Football going to be fun on national TV against the Bears.
That's it. Thank you.
Thanks, Jimmy.
Thank you. There's Jimmy Moreland on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. Go get Mitch.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Mitchell Trubisky. Go pick off Mitchell Trubisky.
Go get one. Wouldn't that be nice?
Be real nice.
Little Natty TV, Jimmy Moreland, and then they flash JMU Dukes, and then it's a story. Then they do their little breakdown. Then they cut to the sideline reporter. It was a great story out of Washington, and then they show it.
What a great story, though, for real.
It
227th pick, 7th round overall, 13th pick in the round. 226 players taken before Jimmy Moreland. When you get taken 227, you don't make an NFL roster. He did. Certainly don't play in week one. He did. Certainly don't become basically a starter, which in the nickel he was this past week. And he's held his own. He's looked really good.
Listen, no disrespect to JMU football, because they've turned out players, and that is a great program.
Yeah.
There's a difference between going up against Elon and Stony Brook and William and Mary and then just making the jump to Sundays, dude.
That's crazy.
That is a chasm.
I'll give the Dukes credit, and I'm sure they would have said this one way or the other. It just so happens that it's worked out. But a lot of people right away were going, watch this guy. He's excellent. You know, he can cover. He makes plays on
the
ball.
That's true.
And from day one, we had JMU fans on Twitter calling us saying, this guy Jimmy Moreland is going to make the team. Now, they probably would have said that if it was some random running back that didn't make the team too. But because he has and he's a player, you tip your cap because Dukes fans have been all over it.
My cousin-in-law, I want to say? Is that a thing? It's my wife's cousin. So the cousin-in-law, he was telling me because he went to ODU and he was like, dude, you got to watch out for this guy. He can absolutely play. He tormented us over the years. And sure enough, he was correct. Jimmy Moreland, man. That's pretty cool. Good for him.
Appreciate Moreland hopping on with us. Hopefully you heard Kevin Bacon and Jimmy Moreland this hour. That was fun. Podcastable at grantanddanny.com this afternoon. We'll get you a double play next. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports. And at 12 today, your Beltway Blitz. You're listening to The Fan. Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. The Nationals got a must-have game under their belts last night against the Cardinals, and another one coming up today. Max Scherzer is on the hill, and they've actually flipped their rotation again. They're moving Steven Strasburg up, so he'll pitch on normal rest, but a day ahead of when he was supposed to against the Marlins in their upcoming home series against Miami. That allows them, by the way, to debate between Strasburg or Scherzer for the wildcard play-in game if they were to get
to the playoffs. If they have that, yeah.
As of right now, there's some momentum and movement toward throwing Strasburg in that game because Scherzer has not gotten all the way back to being Max yet. I think that would change today if he goes out and throws 7 scoreless. Everyone will just run back over to Max's side.
We're just basically waiting for that to happen, right? But if it doesn't, then you have the debate, right? If Max Scherzer maxes today, if he looks like he did the other day against the Braves, if he's, you know, because St. Louis does a good job driving up pitch counts. They're a good offense in that way. But let's say he goes 6 strong, 1 earned run, 10 strikeouts, you go, okay, he's Max again. Problem solved. It's not a debate anymore. But right now, I would say it is a debate because Max hasn't been consistently the dominant guy that we're used to seeing.
My first thought would be Scherzer in a big game over Strasburg in a big game. I would just inherently trust him more.
Mm-hmm.
But remember, the last time Steven Strasburg threw in the postseason against the Cubs, who
he
might
was
be the opponent,
nails.
It's one of the best starts of his career. He was magnificent, and that was the weird Dusty Baker mold game where he said Strasburg was sick and couldn't pitch, and then as we found out since, Rizzo basically told him, you are pitching, this is how this is going. Well, he pitched, and he was unbelievable. Could be the Cubs again. Could be that same team. So there's a lot still to sort out before you determine who's going to pitch, but at least there would be an option of having Strasburg available based on the schedule after they move him up to pitch earlier in the Marlins series. Let's get to our double play. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports.
Eleven was the number. Only 11 fights, only 11 arguments, only 11 times people lost control of their emotions and yelled at each other. People got very upset and things run high. It's a miserable experience. That is what moving is, my friend. Your pals have moved out of their tiny condo. We got a nice little small house, but still, it's a place for us. We're excited about that. Cannot thank the folks at Metropolitan Moving Storage and Storage enough. John Neal is amazing. Their crew is amazing. I marvel at what those guys can do. As you know, in one of my trillion jobs that I've had back in the day, I myself was a mover. No, I wasn't. Not compared to these guys. They're unbelievable at what they do. They're tireless. The packing, the whole everything they did, it was seamless and awesome. But we're still living out of boxes. I don't have TV yet. I don't have internet or cable yet because how awesome cable companies are. I have to wait a week for how, quote, easy installation. That's really refreshing and awesome and cool. We don't have furniture yet. Stuff's being delivered. It just takes forever. But slowly but surely, rebuilding the new facility. But that's kind of where we're at.
That's awesome, man. Good for you guys.
Yeah. We're excited. But it, man, is that a miserable experience. That tests you. If you're a married dude with kids.
But you're adding some square footage.
No, that happened. We know why we're doing it.
There's going to be room.
We're invested. We know what we're doing. We understand what happened.
Two rooms with TVs now?
Yes, eventually. But man, oh man, is it a miserable experience. Like, moving is hard.
Yes, it is.
It is hard.
Everyone who's ever moved will agree to that. Currently, you only have one room with a TV, right? Your
Correct.
Living room?
Uh-huh.
So if your wife's watching something, you have to be watching it and vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's games on every night, so she never really gets to watch her own thing.
It's kind of the deal.
So now what's the layout? How's this going to work?
So we're going to have basically the semi-finished basement. The part that's finished is going to be that's your entertainment area. That's the lounge. That's the cable, the sofa, the comfy, the PlayStation, the whole normal thing.
Silly basement situation.
It's a good little bit. It's not an unbelievable basement, but it's a solid basement
but
situation.
Take it.
Yeah, we'll take it. There's already been talk, and now it's going to happen. It's the second television, which will be upstairs on the main level as well.
The living room.
The
so
living
to speak.
Room kind of place, yeah.
And you've got a couple of beds so that a screaming child of a room so that if
That's
a
right.
baby is screaming, you're not going to hear it as loudly as you did.
You still will hear it, but you can drown it out, and that's the plan. That is the plan. So you could ask me, did my 18-month-old scream last night? My answer is, I don't know. Maybe he did, maybe he didn't. But that door was shut. So was mine. Sound machines are on. I slept soundly.
Good for
you. I don't know if I look terrible. I usually look pretty terrible in the morning. I got as much sleep last night as I would normally get when I'm on the road.
You don't look like you're prepared for an important event. But you don't look terrible either.
Yeah, I don't look as moral.
What
haggard
day
as
was
I
it? Was
do.
It Monday?
Yeah.
One of the days
it was the day after we moved.
Okay, so it was yesterday.
Yeah.
So I came in
Today's
yesterday.
Wednesday, dude.
Whatever. 2 days ago.
Yeah.
So I came in and I said to Danny, I go, Danny, I'm not trying to be mean. You've never looked worse than you do
and
right
I,
now.
And I bought that. I believed you.
You had bags under your eyes,
uh-huh.
the size of Food Lion bags that you carry out groceries with.
So the day before, we'd finished moving, and then the kid's first night in the new house, I'm exhausted. All I want to do is go to sleep at about 8:15. We finally found all the linens and just put...
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Sheets on the bed, flop down and we're done. And he was like, now is a good opportunity for me to ruin the first night in the house. And he screamed bloody murder from basically 12 to 5. So that was my first night.
Oof. Yeah, man. I'm happy for you. The idea, just the word moving petrifies me. I've told you, we're thinking about going a little bit different or bigger mm-hmm. or whatever. And it's just the idea of it is exhausting. And so we'll end up just staying where we're at for a long time because I just hate the possibility of having to actually move.
It is daunting, man.
You could see the light at the end of the tunnel, but it's not that bright. It's got to be really, really bright to want to do what you just did.
I'm telling you.
Especially for you, because you moved. How much, geographically, did you actually move?
I think it's about a mile and a half.
I mean, I don't know that I could do that. I don't know that you could pay me enough to do that.
I'm going to say this. Do it sooner rather than later. If you can.
Yeah.
Because the older the kid gets, maybe there's other kids. I don't know. I'm not trying to stick my nose where it doesn't belong. I'm just saying, if you're going to do it, do it. Deal with the misery. Because the misery is coming. And you can delay the misery, and it's more miserable
like
with more.
A dentist appointment or something.
Yeah.
You're like, I don't want to go do that.
The toothaches, get it handled.
Yeah.
Get it handled is my advice.
Beltway Blitz time next. The teams in town you care the most about. Redskins getting ready for the Bears. Some news out of Ashburn this morning. Jay Gruden having taken to the podium. Case Keenum is talking today as well. Plus, the Nats did get a big win, and they are playing this afternoon, a 1:15 game. So we're off the air at 12:45. We'll give you the lineups for the Nats coming up in your Beltway Blitz, which is next right here on Grant and Danny.
Guys, you got to go see my pals at Ted Britt Ford. It's a 60-year thing. Here's what's been happening. 1959, Okay, they open up shop. They're like, we're going to sell cars at a really good price and take care of people for life. And they've been doing that for six decades. That's right, 60 years, and they're celebrating the 60-year celebration by passing the savings on to you. Here's the deal. You buy a car from Temperate Ford. Cool. You don't pay them anything for 60 days. Nothing. Diddly squat. Okay? They've got the plan for you to get off that lot in a brand new ride. They got some unbelievable deals on cars. I'm going to tell you about a few of them in a second. But think about that. You don't pay Ted Britt Ford anything for 60 days. They'll give you 120% Kelley Blue Book value for your trade-in. Next thing you know, you can drive off with no payments in 60 days and some huge discounts on some of their cars. How about this? $9,400 off MSRP and no payments for 60 on a Ford Explorer. $9,000 below MSRP on a 2019 Mustang. $7,900 below MSRP on a Ford Ranger. And how about this one? $15,000 below MSRP on an F-150 XLT 4x4 Super Crew. That sounds pretty boss. Go see my guys at Ted Britt Ford in Fairfax Chantilly. Click away at TedBritt.com. And where you go, just help me. Attention.
Will be to throw for a very split second may have come off the base because, well, the world was happening around him.
Like gravity or something?
Exactly. You pop up off the bag while sliding, and someone holds their glove on you, and now you're out because of that split second. It completely goes against out or safe, the actual reason for replay, the reason for the rule.
The guy's been safe for 100 years, and now he's not. And I know that that sounds like old man kind of talk, but what we've known is now being altered for what? Reason.
Well, so what
is,
I always
is,
say
is it better now that we have a delay and a guy, because it's annoying that every player now knows you hold the glove on the guy no matter what.
And you should, yeah.
And you should.
What I always say is get the call right. That's all that matters. But I don't know that the call's more right when you hold your glove on someone's butt and they pop off the bag for a split second while standing up and now they're out. That's never been the point of out or safe. It's did you get the tag in before they slid in? Or if they came off the bag completely, overslid it, and you tag them, that's one thing. But the idea, I think more guys will get hurt if we're trying to stay on the bag or, you know, keep our thigh from sliding past the bag. Mm-hmm. I think that it's fairly reckless. Another play like that last night where I thought Juan Soto actually, by way of the replay, probably should have been called out. But maybe they hedged on the side of, what are we really trying to do here? Mm-hmm. He was safe by a mile. Something to think about. Another thing that a lot of people are stewing on in sports right now is the Dolphins' tank job. They traded Minka Fitzpatrick. Now, even if you're tanking, I don't really understand trading Minka Fitzpatrick because they made the deal with the Pittsburgh Steelers, who if they can turn their season around, and I know that they just lost Ben Roethlisberger, so that might not be all that likely, but you're probably going to get a worse first-round pick back than you used on Minka Fitzpatrick from Pittsburgh. Fitzpatrick is a sensational player. He's not as good as Derwin James, who was drafted in that class, but a lot of people liked him more when he was taken, and he'll make a bunch of Pro Bowls over the next several years. He's in the beginning of a contract, controllable for a few seasons. Even if you're tanking, in air quotes, and you're trying to be bad, he's the kind of guy you keep around and build around, so I didn't really get that deal. But I understand completely what they're doing. They're adding as many first and second and third round picks as possible. They have three first round picks this year and two the following year, and they'll have two or three second round picks each of the next 2 years as well. To me, this is smart. Bad is a means to an end. The best way to get good is to be bad. It's an expedited building process. Don't be 7-9 every year going nowhere and fool yourself and wear a black t-shirt and say you don't need to lose weight. Look yourself in the mirror and call it what it is and go get the draft picks. I like what they're doing. It's very unpopular.
I love that, by the way. I love how unpopular it is.
Do you think the NFL, though, will tolerate it? In basketball, they've become cool with it. In baseball, it's in vogue. Is the NFL going to play along?
They hem and haw in basketball about not liking it, but nothing has changed. I mean, they try to tweak the draft lottery in a certain way. It's still the best strategy because there's only a handful of these guys on the planet that can really make a difference. In the NFL, it's different. It's a numbers game. You need more. You need so many controllable assets, right? So I get trading Minka Fitzpatrick, actually. Here's why. This year, you're not going anywhere, right? Next year, 2020, when he's still very affordable, you're not going to be any good then either. 2021 maybe is when your window starts and you've got him for one season, and then he's absolutely walking via free agency, right? So you restart
or
the clock.
Not. Or you've turned it around at that point and you're willing to spend and he's important to keep around.
Maybe. But
he,
I could,
he could
I,
be a building block.
But
for
I could
you.
Do it. Well, he's already miserable and he's not going to sit through this. So fine, I get something for him. I restart my young player winning window clock starting in 2020. So I've got him for 2 years or 3 years potentially when my window begins.
Which I get the logic. It's just hard to find a guy as good as him.
No, he's really good.
You could draft a player at his position and you'll probably draft 10 before you find another one as good as him.
No, terrific player. And he's already, you know, kvetching and whining about wanting to get out. Fine, we will restart. Because with you, we're not going anywhere. Without you, we're not going anywhere. So I love this. This is not done in the NFL. No one will be transparent. I've begged for that when it comes to the Redskins, when it comes to players and teams around this league. What is your vision? What is your goal? And every time, you know, Miami isn't completely without fault here. They gave up a second rounder for Josh Rosen to put him on the bench. That's unequivocally stupid. If you give up a second rounder, you play that player for a team that's tanking.
I don't know how I'd feel if I was a Dolphins fan. Probably similar to 76ers fans, Cubs fans, Astros fans. Now, there's a time where those teams in baseball are losing over 100 games by design. The Cubs obviously won a World Series shortly thereafter. So did the Astros. And the Astros may well win another one this year after being in the ALCS last year. They've become the team in Major League Baseball based on picking in the top five year after year after year on purpose. I don't know if fans have the long-term view and the foresight to say it's worth it to take it on the chin now, because you still got to tune in Sundays at 1 o'clock. You still got to watch and be embarrassed and go to work on Monday being laughed at now for the potential good times of a few years from now.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Patrick's in Culpeper. What's up, Patrick?
Hey, how's it going, fellas?
Hey, man.
Hey, so I've been a Dolphins fan for a long time. And I've kind of watched them wade through mediocrity with the occasional blip on the radar where they make the postseason. I'm actually really happy that they're unloading all this talent and getting draft picks, because it's been so hard to watch the product that they've put out on the field. And it's not dissimilar to what the Redskins have done.
No, it isn't.
Just trying to do a rebuild on the fly.
It's owner-driven. I think there are some similarities, Patrick, in terms of the ineptitude of the front office over the years.
At least the Dolphins are willing to try something new. They're willing to borrow from basketball and baseball. And, yeah, it is hard to watch, you know, my favorite team lose by 40 points. But at the end of the day, I know next year, 2, 3, 4 years from now, I'm probably never going to see that again out of my favorite team.
So I think the Redskins would be more likely to make the playoffs before the Dolphins if you had to just bet money right now on one team or the other, because Miami's essentially punting on the next couple of years.
Yeah.
I would bet on Miami before Washington to get to a conference championship. When you build it the way they are by breaking it down and starting all over, you have a better chance, I think, at finding and figuring out something great, starting with Tua Tagovailoa and whatever they do in the draft next year. So, yeah, maybe the Redskins can get to 9-7 first. That may not get you much. I think if you told me one of those two teams in 2022 is playing in the championship game and has a chance in the fourth quarter to get to a Super Bowl, I would probably bet on Miami.
And even if it doesn't work, it's still a good process. The worst thing you can do in sports is go all in and have a disastrous season. See the Jets, for example. You go get Le'Veon Bell. You go try to acquire all this talent. And you're up against the salary cap. And you give Adam Gase all the authority. And they're a disaster already. They're a tire fire at this point. Right? If you're going to lose in sports, it should be on your terms. When you decide it's time for us to compete, it's time to go all in, and you don't get the desired results, that's disastrous. That's disastrous. You're in salary cap hell. You've given up all your resources, etc. What they're doing is smart. And I know it bothers some people. It bothers the rank and file, because sports is about winning and competition. The best way to win is to do exactly what they're doing. And they may not win. Because,
well, if their goal is to win a championship, then you have to give them some credit and say it is smart. Now, there are other questions about fans and season ticket holders and
sure,
who's getting screwed in all of this, and we can get into that as well. 800-636-1067. What do you make of what the Dolphins are doing in Miami? This is a legitimate baseball-esque fire sale. If you're good, you are getting traded. We'll give you our NFL power rankings next as well. Remember, Nats Cardinals just after 1 o'clock right here on The Fan.
Guys, Danny Ruye here from my pals, Ted Britt Ford. You got to go see him. These guys are the best at what they do. The best, Jerry, the best. $7,900 off the MSRP. No payments for 60 days on a Ford Ranger. $9,000 off the MSRP on a 2019 Mustang. $9,400 off the MSRP on a 2019 Explorer. $9,900 below MSRP on a 2019 Escape. You see the theme of these deals? Each discount is greater and greater and greater and greater. Speaking of greater, Ted Britt has been doing this for 60 years. That's right. They've been in business for 60 years, six decades, since 1959, according to my rudimentary mathematics. I love Ted Britt Ford. I got three different cars from Ted Britt Ford over the years, right? I liked the experience so much the first time I went back. That's how they've been doing this for as long as they have. The best buying experience in town. Take it from me. I have done it three different times. Ted Britt Ford is outstanding. Please give them a chance to win your business. That's how they view it. They're going to win your business. They'll go above and beyond the next mile. All of the cliches are there because of how good they are. Go see them at Fairfax Chantilly. Click away at TedBritt.com. And when you go, just tell them Danny said.
When we go around the NFL tomorrow on Grant and Danny, we're going to have to spend some time in New Orleans. Sean Payton's got a two-quarterback situation brewing, where he's going to use both Teddy Bridgewater and Taysom Hill.
Oh, my goodness.
I hope we see a lot of old Taysom Hill. I want jet sweeps, throwing the ball. I want pitching and catching. He's like Tim Tebow if Tim Tebow could throw the ball a little bit. There's a lot to like about Hill. So we can get into that tomorrow. We'll get into our power rankings coming up in just a few minutes, and we are giving away Nats tickets at the end of this segment. It's also, weirdly enough, the end of the show because the Nats play the Cards just after 1. Charlie and Dave come by in about 10 minutes with pregame. Before we get to our power rankings, you just heard us talking about the Miami Dolphins. I really like what they're doing. I think that this is smart. I think this is the best way to build quickly. You can slowly rebuild while trying to win some football games to save some people some jobs, or you could go hire a coach and some members of the front office like they did this offseason, knowing it's going to take several years, and then you can just bottom out and go get your quarterback and build around them with a ton of first and second round picks, which is what they're establishing right now. Tim's in Woodbridge. What's up, Tim?
Hey, Tim.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Buddy. Love the show. No, I'm like I was telling the guy. I'm a Browns fan, and I like what we're doing. I like what John Dorsey is doing. He got all those draft picks. We're building through the draft. We still have a lot of cap space. I don't want to say it, a lot of cap space, but
you got,
we're not
a good amount,
capping ourselves out.
No, it's a great point. The Browns, they didn't go as hard as the Dolphins did. They accidentally tanked at first. I mean, they were just terrible, and Hugh Jackson didn't help them a whole lot. So they won one game in 2 years, but by design, they got a lot worse and tore the whole thing down, and look where they're at
but
now.
But Sashi Brown started that process. He's now, by the way, with the Washington Wizards, looking to apply some analytics there, but that's how they began this process, was acquiring a bunch of picks. They have the second most effective cap space right now. Talking about the Cleveland Browns.
The Browns have cap space and draft picks to, and then some, but they also have a ton of young talent, and they're fun to watch again. You want to go to that stadium and see Baker Mayfield and company. That's what it can look like if executed properly. Now, you got to hit on the picks, clearly. Maurice, Lexington Park, how are you?
What's up, buddy?
Hey, man.
I think by Alex Smith gonna hinder us. I think we ain't got to do exactly what Miami doing, but we got to do close to it. What I mean by that is Josh Norman, yeah, ride it out. Let him play. But then soon when somebody get hurt that think they can make a playoff game, I think they'll give us a little bit more. Same way with Trent Williams. Let him ride it out. Let him act crazy, do whatever. But soon when somebody get hurt on the offensive line or one of them big-time teams, you'll get a little bit more than you're supposed to get.
Two guys did this week, by the way. The Patriots and the 49ers had injuries at left tackle, and for some reason, they still don't seem to want to trade Trent Williams. I'm just not sure what the market will be for Norman. Let's go to Rafael in Vienna. What's up, Rafi?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Hey, man.
Good.
Hey, I'm actually a Dolphins fan, and I really like what we're doing. We've been so mediocre over the past 10 to 15 years, between 6 and 10 and 9 and 7. And you never get any better, you never get any worse, and you have maybe a little bit of hope, but just tears it apart. I'd take this season to tank next season and actually watch some good football here in the future and actually have a quarterback to root for. That
I think a lot of Redskins fans, Raphael, great phone call, can relate to that. They're over this 500 routine, this annual tradition now. Agilo, we'll squeeze you in for the last word here. By the way, who you got in the Grant and Danny Listener League this week?
I don't know. I know I lost I forget who it was, but all I know is I started TJ Hawkinson because I'm an idiot, and he scored 1 point. So
well, that's probably why you lost.
Which of that point was your favorite?
Yes, it is. Yeah. It was the time where he caught that pass, and then that was it.
Ah, okay.
And I've been on this tanking in the NFL strategy for a long time now. This is how the Chicago Bears have gotten good. This is how the Cleveland Browns have gotten good. And nobody seems to notice that this is how it works. They are bad. They use their first-round picks and use them to other. I think the NFL is actually the best league to tank in, given the fact that you only have 16 games, you're only bad for a little while, and then not only that, you have non-guaranteed contracts, which means you are never locked into a guy for a long time.
That's true. You can get out of deals pretty quickly.
It's what would you rather do? Would you rather go 0-16? With nothing but resources for the future, or 5-11 pushing your chips in? To me, it's a no-brainer.
Give me your top five teams and your power rankings in football right now, and we'll see if we disagree anywhere.
Number 5, Baltimore Ravens. Number 4, the Dallas Cowboys. Number 3, the Los Angeles Rams. Number 2, the Kansas City Chiefs. And number 1, those stupid Patriots.
All right, so I got one team different than you. The Ravens are my first team out. I got them 6. Love what I've seen, but they've played nobody.
Correct.
And the Dolphins, I don't even count as a game. They've basically played one game so far as I'm concerned. I got the Packers 5th. So I've got 1 New England, 2 Kansas City. The Cowboys are 3rd. I love how they look right now. The Rams are 4th. Not sold on them, but they were much more convincing this past week. They benefited from the Breeze injury. And then the Packers come in at number 5. Ravens, the only other team receiving a vote. Right now, caller number 10 at 800-636-1067. You're winning a pair of tickets to see the Nats and the Phillies. Bryce is back in town. 106.7 The Fan and PenFed Credit Union are taking you out to the game all season long, courtesy of PenFed Credit Union. The details are available at thefandc.com/contest. A big thank you to Kevin Bacon for joining us today. That was awesome. Jimmy Moreland as well. Make sure you grab those podcasts at grantanddanny.com/audio or thefandc.com this afternoon.
We are Grant and Danny. Nationals baseball is next. Let's go, Max Scherzer. As I mentioned, it's us, and our watch has now officially ended.
Spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.